Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
So what do you think of back here on ESPN 97.5?
Do you want me to pay off the Bill O'Brien stuff? Lamont's like, you need to pay off that hashtag Bill O'Brien.
Okay, quickly, before we do that,
okay.
How about Sam Houston State? It's going to Conference USA, moving up to Football Bowl.
I saw that. That's
subdivision.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. They've been a factor for a while now. Yeah. I think that's great.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they continue. Well, their rivalry with Stephen F., I would imagine they'll keep on playing because you can't play. They're still going to be in the FCS, Stephen F., but they're going to join Liberty, Jacksonville State, New Mexico State in the in Conference USA. Conference USA had to pick up some people because it was raided by the American to build up its numbers after the American was raided by the Big 12. So, Sam Houston State, congratulations. You Bearcats out there. You're moving up to FBS and going to be playing for bowl as opposed to the playoff. Congratulations. Now, what did you want to talk about?
Well, Bill O'Brien started trending on Saturday. Well, actually Saturday, and it lasted into Sunday. Alabama fans have figured out what we have known, and that guy is just a giant jinx. He can take something good and turn it into something bad pretty quickly. Sometimes it takes a little while. This year, he's doing it at warp speed. He has the potential front runner for the Heisman and Bryce Young, and he's found a way to dial him back into a complete non-factor at times, certainly in a single half of a game. Bill O'Brien is called a horrific game against Texas A&M when they're inside the red zone and they're throwing instead of running Robinson, who is crashing through the line and running like a freight train. And Alabama fans are getting sick and tired of it. They're fed up with it. They barely beat LSU. The offense is inept. They had an inept second half against Florida. They get beat by Texas A&M. Here's some of their thoughts on Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, officially worst play caller of the Saban era. Give this man the keys to a Ferrari, and he's driving a Buick instead. Bill O'Brien wanting to call a pass play inside the 5-yard line. That's the kid who makes his face real red and all the veins go out on his head meme. So Bill O'Brien called a play where our best wide receiver intentionally lines up ineligibly. That seems legit. Throw the effing bank at Hugh Freeze as soon as the season ends. Bill O'Brien is a liability. Bill O'Brien should face a judge tonight. They want him arrested. Can somebody please look at Bill O'Brien's emails? That's the John Gruden comment. I am once again telling y'all Bill O'Brien is worse than Pete Golding. Nick Saban is going to stuff Bill O'Brien in the locker at halftime. So when Jules has the gun pointed at that gun and says, says, "Say what again? I double dog dare you." They've got that picture, and it says Nick Saban to Bill O'Brien this series, call a pass again. Bill O'Brien is the worst OC of the Saban era. I could feel joy if Bill O'Brien was unemployed. I better get an ESPN alert tomorrow that Bill O'Brien and Pete Golding have been fired. If Bill O'Brien packs up and leaves after the season, I'll be glad to let him borrow my trunk. I mean, it just goes up and down. Bill O'Brien checking his fan mail, and there's a guy going to a mailbox and finding nothing inside. Yeah, you remember how Bill O'Brien is the one guy that could screw up the rehabilitation program at Alabama. Every coach who goes there rehabilitates their image and gets a new good job. Bill O'Brien right now, I do think that he'll be gone after the year because I think he and Doug Marrone are not doing a good job. Bill O'Brien brought in Doug Marrone. I think that Nick Saban...
He loves Doug Marrone.
...is going to let... I think Bill's not going to want to be there with Nick more than this year. I think he'll go take a job at like a Florida International or maybe a Power 5 school. He might get a Power 5 job. It isn't going to be a good one. Maybe I don't know who, like an Illinois type of school... Maybe like something like that. Yeah. Hey, Kansas needs coaches too, right?
Do they need coaches?
Yeah. I don't think Nick Saban's going to let him stick around. Nick Saban churns through coaches. I don't think it's probably fun for Bill O'Brien there right now. And they're not getting what they need out of those two coaches. And I don't know if he lets him go because he's a
Belichick guy and O'Brien's a Belichick guy. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. He probably will have to change the way he does things.
Nick likes success.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to perform. If you don't, he'll get rid of you. And I think it may be mutually agreed upon where I don't think Bill O'Brien's going to want all that hate in Alabama and Nick Saban up his ass. I think he's just basically going to say, I want to go somewhere else and do my own thing. This stinks here. These people are stupid and these players are stupid. And all these coaches, what do you even do, Nick Saban? I don't mean to demean you, but what do you even do? I don't even know who you are. Don't you do commercials with Deion Sanders? What do you do any other time? Oh, I'm head coach of the greatest dynasty in maybe sports history.
Okay. How would you rank them this week?
In terms of...
How would you, if you are voting for the college football playoff, how would you rank them this week?
Georgia obviously goes number one. I would say, man, I'm going to keep Alabama at two. It wasn't impressive. I'll keep Alabama at two. I'll go Cincinnati three. And I guess I got to go Oklahoma. Well, I would personally go Ohio State four, personally.
You'd put them ahead of Oklahoma.
But they're not going to be ahead of Oklahoma. That's what I would
do. Okay. Well,
I'm trying to get the best teams.
Okay, Oklahoma's going to be ahead. What you would do and how they will be are two different things.
Yes.
Okay, so
Oklahoma will be ahead.
How will the playoff committee rank them now?
I think it will go a lot of people see Cincinnati at 2. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they go from 6 to 2. I just can't see it happen. LSU won. I mean, Alabama won. Who did Cincinnati beat?
Tulsa.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to go Georgia.
No, they were sixth.
I know. There's no chance that they go up that high. I'm going to go Georgia, Alabama. I think Oklahoma, Cincinnati. That's how it will go.
You think that's how the committee will go? They'll take Oregon out? They'll take Ohio State? They'll get Ohio State out?
No, because it wasn't impressive enough. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're right. It probably stays Oregon. Yeah, it probably goes Oklahoma, Oregon. Yeah, and then Michigan State. Yeah, they'll just...
Michigan State falls out.
They'll just slide it up. Yeah,
Michigan
you're probably
State
right.
Falls way
they'll
out.
Just slide it up. Can you believe Cincinnati is number two in the AP just because they're undefeated? The attrition is real. You will keep bouncing up the polls, but no, you're probably right. They probably just slide everyone up one. Here's a question. Does Michigan State fall below Cincinnati? I think they will.
Absolutely. After losing to Purdue? Absolutely.
Are they a worse team? They were a 2.5-point favorite against Purdue. Purdue's got some good wins on their...
No, they've got to move Cincinnati up after all the backlash from last week. Game day was at Cincinnati. Did you see the signs?
Yeah, I saw a few of them.
How about the game day is going to be Ole Miss, Texas A&M?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I wrote my first NFL.com article this weekend about Matt Corral versus Malik Willis.
Zach Calzada?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be Matt Corral versus Zach Calzada now, yeah. But I wrote a... Matt Corral versus Malik Willis article. Malik.
He didn't look good.
He didn't look that good. Matt Corral looked okay. They're both very, very tough. You can see Malik Willis's talent, but Malik Willis has three interception games this year and not against world beaters on defense.
So the Texans.
That's a big deal because Texans quarterback.
Well, it'll be interesting because the Texans really got a battle on their hands with the Lions right now.
Yeah.
Because. And you know what? We need to talk about this on the other side, is what you do now with Tyrod Taylor going forward. if he's going to play like that, you might as well play Davis Mills. But if he's going to play like that, I think that you should be happy as an organization. You should be happy as a fan base because he's moving you into Kayvon Thibodeau territory. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the Texans have the first pick. Is it?
I don't think they even have to have the first pick. I think the first quarterback off the board, I've got to do a deeper dive, so don't hold me to this. I haven't looked enough at Kenny Pickett. I think Matt Corral is going to be the first quarterback.
Okay, but if you've got the number one pick, you take Corral over Thibodeau?
No, because, well, okay, so if I'm Detroit or Texans.
No, or Texans, yeah.
Detroit or Houston?
I don't care which one they are.
They could both use quarterback.
They can both use quarterback, but is Matt Corral going to be, first of all, is he going to be an NFL player? Secondly, is he going to be better than Kayvon Thibodeau?
I think he's going to be an NFL quarterback for sure. He's got elements that remind me of Zach Wilson and Zach Wilson and Baker Mayfield.
You said
the second pick of the draft and the first pick of the draft, Mayfield and Zach Wilson. He's got elements that remind me of both those guys, but I think he's better than both of them, honestly. Coming out. Well, Baker, it's hard to see. I did have a scout tell me that he's a little squirrely, so I got to look into that stuff. But I think the Texans will have an opportunity to quarterback. You know, quarterbacks get pushed up the board so quick, but you're right. Matt Corral, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, are any of these guys, Sam Howell, are any of them going to be drafted higher than Thibodeau? Are they going to be drafted higher than Evan Neal, the tackle out of Alabama? I mean, this is not a year to need a quarterback.
No, this is a bad year.
I think there's definitely a chance that the Texans say, we're going Mills again next year. We'll go with another quarterback. We go as a backup. We go Mills for a second year of development, and we draft a guy like Thibodeau. Well, is that the worst thing in the world if you don't believe? Well, what do you want to do? You want to just draft a quarterback no matter what if you don't like him and pay that first-round money for the next minimum 4 years?
I feel like Homer Simpson, Peter Griffin laying on the ground.
Ballard has that as my... When I call him, that's the picture that pops up on his phone.
Peter Griffin laying on the
ground. Holding his leg, yeah. I don't even watch that show, and I know that meme. I'm a meme now.
I mean, you are a walking version of
that.
Yeah,
you are.
You are a living proof.
Yeah, and I may have re-injured my ankle salsa dancing this weekend, so
yeah,
that wasn't great.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah,
that's going to be. It's not that funny, Aaron.
8-12.
That you didn't fall on the ground.
You wait a minute. You injured it. Salsa.
I had too much tequila. Nothing hurt at all. I'm like, this feels amazing. And it didn't feel amazing at all the next day. None of it did.
713-780-3776. We'll hear from Coach Cully about yesterday's game. See what get his thoughts on our
if
team.
If I had it to do all over again, I would have not started Tyrod Taylor.
Time to tell. Well, and here's the deal: is how easy was it for them to just cover? I mean, you know, if you'd have played all the dogs yesterday, you won a lot. You won money.
It was the
okay.
Dog.
It
you,
was a dog
you
day.
Played them straight
you
up.
Know
you
know why?
Money.
Is because the books have been getting beat up lately. Well, not yesterday. It all goes in cycles. So you kind of look at that stuff, too, when you're making your plays. And you do that at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. It was a dog day, that's for sure, yesterday. And I hope you had all the dogs. I hope you did. I hope you were great yesterday. Here's the deal. You got to think this thing out. But if you are good at this and you want to play, win, and get paid, mybookie.ag, they will match your whatever deposit that you make right now up to $1,000, and that is cool, and nobody else is doing that, so you got double to play with. If you're looking for the best way to just have fun, love it, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, promo code BET975.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:17 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Still ahead, we'll talk about the... It's not fun talk, the CBA, but we're going to put Brad Adgate, the writer from Forbes.
It's necessary, though.
It is necessary because it'll be interesting to see how things change contract-wise. If agents want their players, you know, Carlos is out there now. Does he want them back on the market in 5 years or get as much as you possibly can, long-term guaranteed money, before stuff changes? Stuff changed in the NBA where it's basically it's so much money, stupid money, but there is a limit. The guys are limited on how much they can make. There's a formula now, as opposed to just get what you can. And maybe that'll happen in baseball, and it'll be long, drawn out, and we want to talk about a battle. But you never know what's going to happen with a new collective bargaining agreement. So we'll talk to Brad Adgate about that. Headlines yesterday: your Texans lose, looked like crap. Your Rockets lost. Well, they played 3 games in 4 nights and lost all of them, although they looked pretty damn good against Denver and lost by 195-94. And then Carlos Correa got an offer of $160 million over 5 years. He also won a gold glove along with Yuli Gurriel. And the Astros made him a qualifying offer, and Justin Verlander a qualifying offer. So they will get compensation when those guys sign with other teams.
What about Greinke?
No, you don't make him a qualifying offer.
Because he might take it?
Yeah, he would take it.
He wants to go back to the National League. He won't take it.
Oh, he would have taken it. 18, 19 million? Yeah.
You think he would have taken it?
Hell yeah. He ain't getting that nowhere.
No, but he might just want out. I guess you don't want to gamble with that.
I know he wants to go to the National League so he can hit, but he's not getting anywhere near that money.
Keep him as maybe start him out in the outfield somewhere at center.
I don't mind that.
Zach Rakes,
did
period.
You see the story where he said when he was being called up to the major leagues, the guy who told him, looks like you're going to the major leagues, how do you feel about it? He goes, well, I'd really rather go back to A-ball and play shortstop. He said, I really think I can play shortstop in the big leagues. And the guy says, dude, you're going to the big leagues as a pitcher. What do you mean?
Here's a serious question. Would a documentary about Zach Greinke's life be the most awesome or the most boring documentary? And I ask that question because I don't really know. It might be the most boring. I feel like it'd be a very niche documentary where a lot of fans would give it like the audience score would be low on Rotten Tomatoes, but the critic score would be high.
Oh,
because
I think it'd be the opposite.
You do?
Yeah, I think you'd find so many gems in it.
I think it would be great.
Here's the thing about him, and people say it. He's like, he says anything he thinks. He just says it. Like, guy comes out of the game, he goes, yeah, you really suck today. Ooh, well, thanks. All right, Zach. Good talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Zach would be gold with a microphone on all the time.
It would be the documentary version of, like, The Hangover or Anchorman or Step Brother. It would be quotable.
It would be The Office.
Those quotes
he'd be
would
Michael
go viral.
Scott. Yeah, I think he'd
Everybody
be...
would just pick up quotes from it, and that's what every kid would be saying.
No, he'd be more like Creed.
Well,
be much more like Creed Humphrey. Like yeah, that. Not Creed Humphrey, but that's former center from Oklahoma, now currently started Kansas City. No, he'd be much more like Creed Bratton or whatever his name was, where he just says things and he's done things in his life. You're like, what? What? Michael Scott was a goof. Zach's not a goof. He's just a lot different.
Well, Zach just says stuff that you go, hmm.
He's a lot different. Did you see this? A friend of mine who's a scout for the Jets. His favorite player in the world is all he ever talks about is Zach Greinke.
I love Zach.
That's all he ever talks about is Zach Greinke. And I had the Astros send him a Zach Greinke bobblehead. And he sent me this tweet that somebody, sad Houston sports fan, this person, look, that's Zach Greinke just on the field at Minute Maid Park just one day when they're giving tours. My favorite moment on Minute Maid Park tours this year was just watching Zach Greinke hang out crisscross applesauce in the outfield all day by himself on an off day. He would literally, this person would give park tours, and he said that Zach would just be out there just sitting there in the field on his off days, just hanging out. I mean, I'm telling you, this guy is,
would that not be?
Pay that man. Let him pinch hit. I don't want to see him pitch.
I have to see that reality show. I have to see that.
I did too. Like I said, it might seem cool, and it may end up being the most boring reality show ever. I talked to a real estate person who said, he was tough to deal with. I won't get into all the specifics, but he just didn't like the places I was showing him and had some harsh words.
I'm telling you, he just says whatever he thinks.
He's not getting the qualifying offer. I think the big story, Gary, we're going to talk Texans, but if you guys want to jump in, Carlos Correa offered by the team, 5-year, $160 million deal, and the initial thought by many is, and one thing that initially came to my mind is, he's likely to get double the years and double the money. So why in the world would the Astros even come with that? That's a very we're not even going to try offer.
I don't think that was a not we're not going to try offer. It's $32 million a year. I totally disagree. It's
if you're
their
going
philosophy.
Shorter,
this is it, they're paying him more than they gave Altuve, more than they gave Bregman. They're paying him in the well. They didn't have to pay Justin Verlander because they had to pay Justin Verlander in the last 2 years, $33 million. They're giving him a Hall of Fame pitcher money.
Right. He's never finished, as Chase has pointed out. Look, the reality is, I get it. He's never finished top five MVP voting. He has had injury stuff in the background. Yes, a 10-year deal is a dumb deal for Carlos. It's too. The risk reward, it is a risky proposition to give him that based on your history with Carlos Correa and his history. With that said, I think the one thing that Chase and others who have talked about how he doesn't have the background or the portfolio to warrant the contract he's going to get, while I understand that, I do think there's a projection that you put on Carlos that it's more likely that this is two straight years, you know, if you want to call last year a year, that he has been healthy. He has hit the ball better. He is an elite top-of-the-line shortstop that it's undeniable, a phenomenal defensive shortstop. He is a tremendous team leader. I think Carlos's contract, his offer, his per-year number goes well beyond just your standard, well, show me what's on your portfolio of hitting and your postseason awards. I think you have to go beyond that and project him a little bit. With that said, if you're really serious about this, if you're really, really serious, I get the 5-year deal. If you go fewer years and more money, Carlos could look at it as I get to the market again. The problem is a new CBA is going to be coming up. You don't know what's going to happen. But, John, this would be interesting to me. If the Astros want to really show him the love, a 5-year, $200 million deal is the deal that you could probably fade. It sets up concerns, though, as you deal with Kyle Tucker and Yordan, potentially, when they're free agents and they've performed better at the plate. But 5 at $200 million means, Carlos, we're giving you $40 million a year, $200 million, and a decent shot of having a second contract, even at the age of 32. Because it's not like he's going to be out of baseball at 32. It's not going to happen.
I don't think it's outrageous. 160, maybe
it's 27 now.
Maybe they go up to 170, 175 over five, which it, you know.
Would again, he consider again, 5 at $200 million? That's 40 a year.
That's 40 a year. That sets a precedent, a dangerous precedent.
That's the problem. As you say, we're not doing distance, but we're going to do APY.
If Yordan is the best DH in the league, which he arguably could be when he comes up. Kyle Tucker might be the best right fielder in baseball when he comes up.
Well, you're going to have to pay.
That's right.
Listen, Crane's going to have to eventually pay his guys top-end money.
Listen.
Or you're just going to let everyone walk? Or are we the A's?
Well, here's the deal is, you know, Carlos came up young. You know, when you're getting into the free agency, yeah, who knows how old Yordan is, really. But when you're getting into free agency a little bit older, you might be able to get away with 5-year deals, 5-year big deals for guys. But when they're getting a free agency young, like Carlos is getting there, 27, it's a little bit tougher because the dude can ask for an 8, 9, 10-year offer. 30-year-olds, George Springer couldn't. George Springer couldn't get it. 6 years was all he could get.
Right.
Because the Astros kind of screwed him and didn't bring him up and when he should have been brought up, and that's why George was pissed at him anyway. But 713-780-3776, the number. Brad Adgate joins us on the other side right here. Let's get Gary in here quickly and see what he wants to talk about. He's been waiting to talk about the Texans. Gary, your thoughts?
Hey, just want to say, not again. I mean, I heard you guys mention Kayvon Thibodeau and the number one draft pick. If we go in and select another DN, I'll be disappointed. After Mario Williams and then after Stavion Clowney, I'd much rather us. There's not a QB. Let's trade down. Let's get a cornerback, get a defensive tackle. but not the defensive end thing again. That will be, I mean, that will be so Texan-like for our look to work out like that, but I hope they wouldn't do that again.
You're right. They're all different, but yeah, that it might be the same deal. Of course, it was the right thing, Mario Williams, passing on Vince and Reggie. It was the right thing. It was kind of the right thing, Jadeveon Clowney, too. There were better guys out.
But that's hindsight.
Yeah, it is hindsight. That's Jadeveon hindsight. Was clearly the number one guy.
Khalil Mack was coming from Buffalo. Like, you weren't, you know, but there were other guys. I mean, you know, Aaron Donald, who knew he'd become the potentially best defensive lineman in the history of football? But you would have never drafted a 280-pound defensive tackle first.
No.
Like, that's unheard of. By the way, for all the Ed Oliver truthers that he's the next Aaron Donald. No, he isn't. There are certain people that you don't say he's the next this guy when they're freak shows. Aaron Donald is that guy.
Yeah.
Nobody before him and maybe nobody after him will be the same size. He plays 40 pounds heavier than his size. He is a ridiculous freak. For as great as J.J. Watt is, Aaron Donald has been able to avoid injury.
Yeah.
He's been that great.
All right, Brad Adgate on the other side. We'll talk to the about the collective bargaining agreement. Right now, though, we're talking about Aqueduct Plumbing Company, home of the one-day repipe. They're at your disposal. No matter what it is that you need, and you probably have some needs. How's your water pressure? Do you have any foundation issues or cracks in the walls of your home? Do you have weird noises when you turn on the water? Are you running out of hot water? Do you need a new hot water tank, and they do a tankless deal that's just fantastic. But the thing about a plumber is I'm sure you can find a bunch of different companies that will do this stuff. The thing is, will they come to your home absolutely free? Are they going to do the work themselves, or are they subcontracting it out? Are they reputable? Have they been in business for a while and been doing this in the Houston area? Will they go everywhere in the Houston area? Because Aqueduct Plumbing does all that.
Yeah, go to thebenchplumbing.com, and if you don't need a plumber right now, just go ahead and bookmark this website, because now you got a guy, right? You need a guy for air conditioning, for plumbing, a car repair. You want to make sure that you have a plumber who can help you with gas repipe. They can do that. Repipe under your home, the tankless water heaters, just leakage at the faucet and leakage at the fixtures. These are things that they do. Aqueduct Plumbing Company, make sure that you bookmark it or you call them today, thebenchplumbing.com.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance being joined by Brad Adgate, writer for Forbes. MLB CBA talks this offseason. So it'll be a very interesting offseason. Could be a very contentious offseason. Brad joins us here on the show. Brad, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well today. How are you doing?
Doing well. All right, let's talk about this thing, because all we hear is that this is going to be so contentious, and will it even get done? How tough are these negotiations going to be?
Well, I think this is coming off of last year where there was contentious talk during the pandemic season and issues of revenue and salary, and they filed grievances against each other. And I think that the MLB and MLB Players Association, I think they want to keep this thing out of the media and try not to keep it as contentious as possible. But, you know, there are a lot of issues that need to be ironed out. As with previous impasses, it deals with salary and revenue.
What are the major impasses in this deal?
Well, I think one of them is free agency. As you know now, players after 6 years of major league service are eligible for free agency and signing these huge multi-year hundreds of millions of dollars contracts. And I think what the Major League Baseball would like to do is just say, okay, well, you don't become a free agent until you turn 29 and a half. And after that season, then you can be a free agent. So you know, players like Juan Soto today, or you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you know, Wander Franco, they would be impacted by this because they'd have to wait a few more years. Even the Houston shortstop, Carlos Correa, just turned 27. He wouldn't be eligible for free agency for a few more years. So that's one issue. Another one is you know, luxury tax. I think the Players Association don't really like the luxury tax. They think it's really a salary cap, which baseball doesn't have. And Major League Baseball wants to lower the team salary, you know, for luxury tax. Right now it's $210 million. They want to lower it to $180 million. And the flip side is they would have an edict that every team salary or payroll has to be a minimum of $100 million, which would stop teams from tanking, which is another issue that the Players Association has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's the key. Obviously, the floor is going to be important for the players. But, you know, I've heard it said that the owners, that there are going to be enough owners that want to dig in and say, we've got to take our stand right now because this is spiraling out of control on us too quickly. Is it going to be a situation where you have enough owners who are willing to lose some games next year, just 2 years removed from pandemic season? Are we going to see owners who are willing to do that for the greater good of what they believe is the economic health of their sport?
That's a great question. You know, that happened in 1994-95. And you know, the World Series was canceled. The next season was shortened to 144 games. But, you know, 1995, you know, had the lowest attendance in baseball per games played in the past 30 years. So you run a risk of long-term damage by postponing the season or having a work stoppage. I think the good news here is that the stoppage begins December 1st, and for most baseball fans, you know, spring training won't be impacted until mid-February. The season doesn't start till the end of March. So I think this gives them time to kind of iron things out. I mean, there'll be the rosters will be frozen. There'll be no free agency signing, no trades, none of the draft five rule or arbitration or some of these other hot stove league issues or news that, you know, baseball fans, you know, kind of to keep themselves busy. You know, that's going to be put on hold for the time. But, you know, owners, you know, they got a new baseball contract. There are other issues, revenue potentials with, you know, streaming video and home games. So there's a lot of revenue at stake that just kind of put a line in the sand because, you know, they've done that before, and there's some backlash to that, you know, with fans.
Brad Adgate with us here, Forbes, talking the collective bargaining agreement, major league owners and players. How much of that, you know, 29 and a half for free agency is just ridiculous, Brad, especially when you're talking about the Sotos and you're talking about the Francos. I mean, is that just posturing so that they can get something else, or is that real?
Well, it's hard to say because they're not really talking, but it's certainly one of the talking points that the players and owners have a disagreement with. I'll tell you another thing with terms of free agency is years of service. You know, the Players Association, it really annoys them that you have to put in 6 years of service because, you know, a team could take a hot prospect and just hold on for a couple of weeks and then get a squeeze an extra year of service before they become a free agent. I mean, a perfect example is Chris Bryant. I mean, mm-hmm. He was Rookie of the Year in 2015. He played 151 games, but he wasn't credited with a full year of service because he started the year in AAA baseball, and so they were able to squeeze another year out of him, which was this season. He should have been a free agent after 2020 because that was a sick season, but because of these rules of what constitutes a full year, he had to wait another year, and the Cubs, you know, in a salary dump, traded him to San Francisco, and he'll be a free agent this year. So, there's some issues on both sides that aggravate the players,
yeah,
and owners.
Well, and they probably look at the NFL. Hey, you know, if you're not a first rounder, you're out after 4 years. 5 years if you're a first rounder. So they're probably thinking, hey, why is it so long? And you're right. because every team does that now, especially with big name players, is they're not going to bring them up, and they'll be, you know, super twos or what you know, whatever. They'll have to give 7 years of service before they get to free agency. So I can certainly see that. I always thought that was a ripoff for the players. Brad Adgate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Anything, any other major issues that you see going forward on this thing?
I think that, with the luxury tax and things of that sort, yeah, I think it really comes down to just revenue and money. And I think the other argument in terms of the salary cap is you take a player like Aaron Judge or a player like Max Muncy. You know, these guys are what you call late bloomers. So these guys would actually benefit because they'll be over 29 by the time this 6 years of full service comes in, and they'll get a full, they'll be a free agent minimum, short of playing six full seasons in the big league. So there's arguments on both sides. And I just think that the major league owners want to keep away from these Bryce Harper, Giancarlo type of multi-year salaries with hundreds of millions of dollars. They see that and they just want to kind of put a hold on that sort of stuff. And don't forget, baseball lost a lot of money last year with the pandemic. And I really don't think that they want to go through another year like that.
Yeah, so not knowing what's going to happen with the CBA, we were just talking about it. Would it behoove Carlos Correa to sign something really soon before we do have some type of stipulations or regulations on long-term contracts?
Yeah, I would. I mean, he's got to be looking at what Francisco Lindor did last year with a 10-year, $341 million contract. If he could sit and sign, I mean, it's been rumored the Yankees might be after him. I know the Astros offered him a 5-year, $165 million contract, but if you could double that and get to 10 years and $330 million, I think he'd be more inclined
wouldn't we all?
So I wouldn't surprise me if they do. And this past week, qualifying offers were made to a lot of free agents. I think Carlos was one of them. I don't think he's going to accept that, as are most big league players. I think that there's going to be it's going to be very interesting. Baseball is going to look a lot different next year with the new TV contract and when the CBA gets ironed out with streaming video, for home games is on the table that the commissioner is looking at, and there are issues with that because RSNs want to be able to do that as people cancel their cable subscription. And being able to stream home games. This is something not available. MLB TV doesn't allow that to protect the cable or TV packages that they have. So, things are changing. How people can watch content is changing. There are revenue opportunities, and I think that these and I think they have to figure out what's a fair slice of the pie for the union and the owners.
Brad Adgate, Forbes, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great talking to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your insight.
Great. Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Brad Adgate right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Talking right now about my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble. And granted, if you're looking for the best way to improve the value, we're just talking big money right there, right? Well, how about big money for your home? How about big money for your business? How about being able to stay on top of this so that you actually do cash in when it is time to cash in? And if you've got a business that you just, you got to upgrade. I mean, the place is gross. People aren't coming in because it's gross. You need to remodel. You need new patio. You need new cabinets. You need new countertops. You need new bar. You need new whatever it is that you need new. Jeff Aronoff can build it for you. I mean, he can look at a room and make it, spectacular for whatever, and customize it to exactly what you need, whatever your business is. I mean, Jeff can get this job done, has been doing it for years. He does all the vanities or all the countertops for entire hotels. That's Jeff Aronoff doing big jobs, and he can do a big, big job for you. But you got to call him first, let him come there, and let him give you that estimate, and you get 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You know, I've just been looking through. I just don't know how to feel about this. After watching football this weekend, I watched, you know, a lot of college and a lot of pro football. I don't know that. Would you bet on Texas as a 30-point favorite right now?
The Longhorns.
The Longhorns.
No.
Even against Kansas? For money?
No. Kansas stuck with Oklahoma.
I know. That's a problem. No. But it's at Texas.
Well, Texas has really been. The players are selling out right now and playing as hard as they can. So.
Ooh.
They do seem to really be invested in this season.
They all seem to be. Yeah. It's like all systems go there.
I can't wait to get to the next game to show what we're capable of.
Penn State and Michigan. Where do you think that opened? At Penn State.
Penn State about two.
One. Okay. Penn State one. Texas A&M at Ole Miss. Where do you think that opened?
Ooh, man, that is a tough one. I'm going to say Aggies 1.5.
Aggies are 2.5. Okay. Aggies are 2.5. You're pretty good at this. You're playing pretty well right now. Any other games? Miami at Florida State. 3. Florida State's played better. No, yeah. Florida State has played better.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know Florida State that well.
Yeah. No, they've been.
Should be 10.
Well, no, well.
I feel like it.
Rice hosting Western Kentucky.
Rice 6.
Your mic wasn't on all that time? Oh. Well, that's a shame.
Oh, well,
nobody heard what you said. You were close on some.
My button was on.
Rice.
Oh, he was 100% right on all of them. I heard it.
Yeah, you know.
He's batting 1,000.
Yeah. Rice 6?
Rice is plus 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
Against Western Kentucky?
At home.
Rice is getting, against Western Kentucky, Rice is getting 19.
Yeah.
How good is Western Kentucky?
Well, Rice has not been quite all that great lately. Of late, it hasn't been all that.
I'm just taking
fruity.
Rice right on, just based on
just plus 19.
You know who played at Western Kentucky?
Yeah,
the great Mike White. The great Mike White. I wrote him up. Good arm, you know, all that stuff. But I think the Jets realize, we feel like Mike White might be a good fit for this offense. There is a realization after Josh Johnson and Mike White went off,
mm-hmm.
and Zach Wilson can't do anything. That it's like, oh my gosh, what do we have here?
What do we do? Much like, well, I mean, didn't the Redskins draft RG3 second overall?
Yeah, and not the football team didn't draft him. You just said the R word again.
Did I say the Redskins? No, it was the Redskins.
That's right.
They were the Redskins.
Historically,
they were the Redskins.
That's true.
Cincinnati at South Florida.
Ooh. South Florida just played the Cougs.
Yep.
They were 13.5 against the Cougs. Cincinnati's there, but it's still going to be high. I'm going to say 16.5.
23.5. I don't know if I'm giving 23.5 with Cincinnati right now. I think you've been.
Wait, were the Cougs on the road or at home?
Game. They were there.
So that makes sense. 23. So then, well, you're saying, you said 22.5?
23.5.
So you're saying Cincinnati's 10 points better than Houston is what you're saying.
Well, but they haven't been. See, that's the problem I'm having.
That's the number.
They really haven't been.
I would make it closer. Everyone keeps waiting for Cincinnati to start smashing people, and it happened. Linebackers caught up.
But South Florida played their best game in a long time. Played their best game. And so they're not very good. So that was really. And Oklahoma at Baylor.
Okay. I'll be better at this one. Oklahoma at Baylor. Baylor just caught an L. Oklahoma's a favorite. Not crazy. favorite, but I'll still make them. I'll make them a 6-point favorite.
That's six, exactly. It's six.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's some of your lines, early lines anyway, going forward. Have to do some work. Five-star didn't have the week he had the week before.
No, it happens.
Oh, that happens.
He yesterday got so mad at – he had a first-half play on the Texans, plus the points, plus three, which meant I did too. And Tyrod Taylor, what he had an interception in the end zone, yeah. He was so pissed off. He goes, I will never forgive you for the rest of my life for costing me $3,300. He put his money amount out there. He's like, I will hate you for all of eternity. Yikes. I am never forgiving you for this, Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, no. Well, he made up for some of his, for those you just got the picks on our show. He made up for it with some of his picks later. But he also gave me the Saints. Boy, did they look
I like the other side of that
did one. Did they look like crap?
I was on the other side. Falcons, I mean, Saints' offense is just way too up and down. Falcons are sitting there at 4-4 now?
Yeah. No, they're not a bad football team.
No, and even with
Cordarrelle Patterson is playing his ass off.
He's my fantasy pickup of the year, but he is this is a really weird thing. Cordarrelle Patterson has his resurgence, not even resurgence. He is right now at his best. And he's been around the league for what? How many years has he been around the league?
He's been around a while.
Is it like almost as long as Nuke Hopkins, I believe. Cordarrelle Patterson right now is 30 years old, and he's never played better football than right now. He's actually turned into a real wide receiver. He's just be a return guy and a gadget guy.
But he's a running back.
Well, no, he's a wide receiver.
No, but he's really their running back a lot of times.
Well, they just said, you want to do running back?
You want to play running back?
Yeah, cool. Yeah. You want to do wide receiver? Cool. You want to be a kick returner? Cool.
Yeah.
This guy's just a weapon right now. He's got 73 rushes for 278 yards, but he's like, if you haven't really followed this guy, he's 6'2", 227, is just a phenomenal athlete. Just a phenomenal athlete.
So the Saints took the lead. What does Matt Ryan do? Immediately goes right to Patterson up the sideline. Oh, field goal range, it's over.
Six catches for 126 yards yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is a – Cordarrelle has been awesome.
He has three rushing touchdowns this year, four receiving touchdowns. He has 469 yards receiving, 158 rushing. He's averaging – I'm sorry. That's not what he's done. This year, let me see, with Atlanta, here it is. He has two rushing touchdowns, and he has five receiving touchdowns. He has seven touchdowns, 278 yards rushing, 459 yards receiving. He's a great little gadget player. He's not little. He's a big dude. But it's just kind of cool to see a guy who's 30 years old playing his best. Like, he's never played better football.
No.
He's never been a more high-impact player. And that's with Calvin Ridley out. But Kyle Pitts is really, really good. And the Falcons, who everyone thought was going to suck, they're sitting there at 4-4, and they're like, hey, maybe we should be talked about in a playoff contention.
No,
If you look at the back end of the playoffs in the in the NFC, it's not going to be great. Like, they've got a shot. You're looking at a team right now that's 4-4 with a losing record who could end up getting the last wild card spot over there. Dallas, what happened to them? Oh, my God, Dallas, I thought you guys were for real. I really did. I'm like, had that conversation with my guys over at Pete's Fine Meats. Is Dallas for real? Yeah, they're for real. I was just kidding. They're not for real, I guess.
No, they are.
I guess. I mean, 30 to nothing. Dak gets a couple of late touchdowns. He was awful.
Garbage touchdowns.
Looked way better than how bad he was.
No, he was bad.
The Cowboys were losing 30 to nothing at home.
Unbelievable. Oh, so you can't blame the altitude?
No, it was in Dallas.
But Dallas is
this you
high.
Saturday night?
Yeah.
Very, footage of very Lance doing similar. Salsa. It looks like Dancing with the Stars. Very but I guess it was.
Maybe it wasn't salsa dancing. Maybe it was like
whatever.
I don't know. Maybe I was doing a mambo. I don't know.
Tell King Radio Pro to turn on his microphone. Tell LZ to turn on his mic.
No, that wasn't me. You must have had me pulled down or something.
You need to turn him on.
Yeah, that was on Aaron. That wasn't me.
Aaron, you're making Lance look like how he always does.
I was like, I was definitely on. I was definitely on.
Okay. All right. 713-780-3776.
Who's better quarterback right now? Colt McCoy or Davis Mills?
Oh, Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy or Pat Mahomes?
Well, yesterday, Colt McCoy was better.
Okay, what about over the last three games that both guys have played?
Probably Colt McCoy.
Yeah. Right now, I'd say Colt McCoy's a better quarterback than Pat Mahomes.
Well, he's playing better football than Pat
Mahomes. Would you like me to give you Pat Mahomes at home against the Packers? Here is his stat line. See if you like this. 20 of 37. So, under 60% completion.
Well, way under.
166 yards passing. 166. He threw it 37 times. He had one touchdown, no interception. At least he had no interceptions. That's pretty good.
How much per attempt?
Less than six.
Less than 6 yards per attempt. That's Davis Mills-like.
Oh, no. This is Millsy.
Yeah.
You take that one touchdown and turn it into an interception.
And it's very
If I told
Millsy.
You 20 of 37 for 166, zero touchdowns, one interception, who is that? You'd say, oh, Davis Mills. No, it's actually almost Pat Mahomes.
Wow.
And this is three games. Like, Pat Mahomes is fundamentally broken as a quarterback right now. I do not know what in the hell's going on, if he had a deal with the devil, but this is the guy I scouted coming out of Texas Tech that had flash and arm talent but made bad decisions, and I comped him to Jay Cutler, and people lost their minds, and I look stupid. Now I'm like,
I might be onto something.
Hey,
here.
Dan Patrick, save why don't you run, let's run it. Dan Patrick, let's run it back. Run back that comp game that y'all were trying to play on me on TV. Try to embarrass me.
And
this is
starting to get into a big enough sample size, too.
Yeah, it's getting into a whole season sample size.
All right, 713-780-3776. Hey, take the day off work. Play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 with the occasional invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting the Latino Learning Center. The tournament's going to take place Wednesday, December 1st, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Michelob Ultra and Cutwater Spirits. Lunch from Frankie's Italian Kitchen, which is going to be good. Orleans Seafood Kitchen. My man, Marcus, is going to give us dinner. 18 holes of golf and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. Register now because it is going to fill up. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, we'll talk more NFL football on the other side.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.